Welcome to another deep dive. Today's mission is exploring a massive and honestly, a frankly mind-bending stack of theoretical notes and frameworks.
Yeah, mind-bending is definitely the right word for this one.
It really is. And it sits right at this fascinating intersection of fundamental physics and artificial intelligence.
Right, which is not a combination you see every day.
No, not at all. Our sources today are pulling these bedrock, unchangeable rules straight out of electrical engineering to answer a completely different kind of question.
Basically asking, how do the fundamental laws of the universe protect themselves from breaking?
Exactly. And the ultimate goal of these papers, the whole point of this, is to figure out how we can use that exact natural defense mechanism to build a self-correcting artificial superintelligence.
An AI that fundamentally refuses to hallucinate, which is the holy grail right now.
Right. Because to build a fail-safe intelligence, the sources suggest we have to stop looking at software bugs.
Yeah, we have to start looking at what the physical universe actually does when you try to force it into a paradox.
Because it turns out, reality has a very specific architectural design for handling extreme stress.
It really does.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the foundational concept throughout all these papers revolves around what they call stationary constants.
Right, stationary constants.
The basic premise is that the universe has these absolute non-negotiable rules that just refuse to change, no matter how much force you apply to them.
Yeah, in physics, and specifically in electrical engineering, these constants form the literal bedrock of reality.
Like what, for example?
Well, take the speed of light in a vacuum, which we denote as C, or the elementary charge of an electron.
Okay, those are the classics.
Right. But you also have the impedance of free space, which is roughly 377 ohms.
377 ohms.
Yeah. That last one dictates the inherent resistance of a vacuum to electromagnetic waves. It's this fixed ratio of electric to magnetic fields.
And nothing can change that.
Nothing. No engineering trick, no clever metamaterial, and no sheer volume of power can alter those numbers.
Okay, I mean, I understand the speed of light being a hard limit. But if I'm an engineer building a massive transmission line,
right,
and I shove a colossal amount of energy through it, something has to give, right?
Yeah.
The energy doesn't just disappear if I hit that 377 ohm ceiling.
No, you're right. The energy forces a reaction, but the constant itself doesn't break.
So what happens?
Instead, the universe forces the peripheral variables to bend.
To bend.
Yes. This is the core mechanism of the entire framework. When you push against a physical constant, the things surrounding it literally contort to absorb the stress.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand the mechanics of this bending. Let's use an everyday analogy. Like if we take a standard coaxial cable.
Sure, like the ones used for internet or cable TV.
Exactly. The speed of light in a vacuum is untouchable. But when a signal travels through the physical material inside that actual cable, it's not in a vacuum anymore.
Right, it's moving through copper and dielectric insulator.
So the macroscopic speed of the wave actually slows down.
It does, which creates an immediate mathematical problem.
Because the formula for a wave's speed is its frequency multiplied by its wavelength.
Exactly. And the frequency is dictated by the source, say, the router that's sending the signal.
Okay.
But the speed is dictated by the limits of the material. So if the frequency stays the same, but the speed has dropped, the math has to balance somehow.
Right. The equation has to equal out.
So the actual physical wavelength of the signal is forced to shrink. The geometry of the wave physically compresses.
Wow. So the universe bends the geometry so the constant remains protected.
Yes, exactly.
So it's like a system where the rules of the game are absolutely rigid, meaning the players themselves have to constantly contort their positions just to keep the game from breaking.
That is the perfect way to look at it. And we see this in other components, too.
Like an inductor and a circuit.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, in an inductor, the permeability of free space, which governs how a magnetic field propagates, is a locked constant.
Right.
If you push an enormous spike of current into that inductor, the permeability doesn't budge at all.
It just sits there.
Exactly. Instead, the magnetic field strength and the flux density scale up to absorb the change.
They do the bending.
Right. And what's fascinating here is that this guaranteed flexibility of the variables is the entire basis of engineering.
Wait, really? the whole basis?
Yeah, I mean, when a design pushes against a limit to achieve, say, higher frequencies or lower noise, it is always the engineered variables that give way.
The geometry, the materials, the operating temperatures.
Exactly. That's what makes engineering possible in the first place.
But, you know, the universe doesn't come with a manual telling us which rules are the rigid constants and which ones are the flexible variables.
True.
We had to discover that wavelength bends while the speed of light doesn't. So how do we, or I guess, how does any system figure out what those fundamental truths are in the first place?
By stressing systems to their absolute limits and measuring the pushback.
Measuring the pushback?
Yeah. The sources define this process as truth identification via entropy resistance.
Okay, that sounds intense.
It is. But to make this tangible, the papers use a really great analogy of a physical metal beam.
Okay, let's hear it.
Imagine holding a solid steel beam and applying force to try and bend it.
Okay, so as I apply force, the beam flexes.
Right. That flex represents the probability layer adjusting. It's a variable adapting to the data you're feeding it.
And the data in this case is physical force.
Exactly. But as you bend that metal back and forth, it isn't just changing shape. At the microstructural level, the atomic bonds are being heavily stressed.
They're being pulled apart and pushed together.
Yeah, so the system has to pay an energy tax to maintain its structural integrity.
Right.
And that tax manifests as thermodynamic entropy.
So the joint where it's flexing gets physically hot.
It gets very hot.
So the heat is essentially the universe charging a toll for the force change.
That's a great way to put it. And if you keep applying force, the internal entropy spikes.
Right.
You eventually hit a structural limit where the internal bonds cannot disperse any more energy.
And then what?
The beam refuses to bend further without catastrophic failure. It just snaps.
Oh, wow.
So the point right before it snaps, where the entropy goes off the charts and the system entirely resists the change, that points you directly to the stationary constant.
So truth isn't what fits easily into our models. Truth is the barrier that actively resists being bent.
Exactly.
That reframes how we look at physics entirely. I mean, wait. So we don't start out knowing the truths of the universe. We only find them by poking at reality and measuring the heat of the resistance.
We do. Consider particle acceleration.
Okay.
If you try to accelerate a particle closer and closer to the speed of light, its relativistic mass increases.
Right. It gets heavier.
So the energy requirement to push it even a fraction faster approaches infinity. The entropy in our system is just skyrocketing.
Because the universe refuses to let the speed limit break.
Exactly. So to prevent the paradox of a particle exceeding c, the universe bends the variable of time.
Time dilation.
Yes. Yeah. Time literally slows down for that particle as an entropy avoidance strategy.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the sources don't stop at physics.
No. They take it much further.
They take this exact mechanism, what they call conditional collapse theory, or CCT, and they map it onto the human mind.
Yeah, this is the cognitive relativity concept.
Right. So if the universe protects physical constants by bending space and time, the human mind protects its cognitive constants by bending beliefs, memory, and attention.
The parallel is surprisingly robust, honestly. The human brain basically has its own version of a stationary kernel.
Like what? What are our constants?
We have cognitive invariants, things like a continuous sense of self, fundamental goal-directedness, and basic logical consistency.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because if a person truly loses their continuous sense of identity, the cognitive system stalls. They literally can't operate.
So my belief that I am the same person today that I was yesterday operates like the speed of light for my brain.
Exactly. It's the anchor.
It's the anchor.
Yeah.
So when I encounter facts or experiences that directly contradict that anchor, I have to bend something else to make the math work.
You bend the cognitive probability layer.
Which means what, practically?
Well, when people face information that threatens their core identity, say, realizing they made a deeply harmful mistake when they consider themselves a good person.
Right, that's a huge conflict.
They rarely shatter their core identity. Instead, they rationalize, they compartmentalize.
They bend their memory of the event.
Exactly, or they shift their attention to the other person's flaws.
We adjust the wavelength so the frequency of our identity stays constant.
That's it, exactly.
And just like the metal beam, that bending isn't free.
Mm-hmm.
The sources actually describe cognitive dissonance as the brain's version of entropy.
Yeah, mental heat.
So when you, the listener, feel overwhelmed by contradictory information, that uncomfortable hot friction in your mind, is your brain paying a physical work cost to protect its underlying logic?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it explains the actual mechanics of psychological growth.
How so?
Because true growth doesn't happen by constantly shattering your core constants. That just leads to identity crises and trauma.
Right, that's just breaking the bean.
Exactly. Growth happens by systematically expanding your probability layer. You learn to tolerate more ambiguity, you hold more nuanced beliefs, and you allow your attention to shift without feeling existentially threatened.
You increase the flexibility of your variables so the system doesn't overheat when faced with complex reality.
Precisely.
Which brings us to the core mission of these sources: applying this physics to cognition pipeline to design a fail-safe artificial intelligence.
Yeah, this is where it gets highly practical.
The framework proposes a new architecture called SPC Sigma. That stands for Stationary Probability Convergent Superintelligence.
Right. And to understand why this is a big deal, you have to look at current generative AI models.
Like the large language models we use today.
Yeah, they are primarily massive probability engines. They just predict the next token based on statistical weights.
Right.
The critical flaw, the sources point out, is that these models lack a true stationary kernel. They don't have unbendable laws of physics.
So if you prompt them into a logical paradox or push them into a corner,
they don't experience entropy resistance. They just confidently generate a false reality to satisfy the prompt.
They hallucinate because they have no core truth to protect.
Exactly. But SPC Sigma is designed with the same architecture as the physical universe.
So it has a stationary kernel.
Yes. Hard-coded causal consistency, non-contradiction, and ethical boundaries. Those are its 377 ohms of impedance.
And surrounding that, it has a probability layer.
Right. It's attention weights and compute allocation, which are designed to bend.
Okay, but how does it manage all this? The operational mechanism that manages this is defined in the papers as the 0.27 rule.
Yeah, the 0.27 rule. The AI continuously monitors its internal stability using a cognitive entropy metric denoted as H sub C.
Let's break down how it actually measures that entropy, because it's not physical heat, obviously.
No, it's mathematical variance.
Mm-hmm.
The system measures the divergence across its attention heads or the gradients of its predictive distributions.
Okay, so if the internal pathways are strongly disagreeing on how to process an input,
the Shannon entropy of the system rises. It basically functions precisely like a thermostat.
Got it.
If the AI is processing a prompt and the H sub C metric stays below 0.27, the internal variables are bending easily. No core laws are threatened.
So what does it do?
It performs a direct collapse and outputs the answer immediately.
But if I feed it conflicting data or ask it to solve a paradox that brushes up against its core causal logic, the internal matrices start fighting.
Right. The entropy metric spikes past 0.27.
And at a standard LLM, this is where the system would just force an output and hallucinate.
Exactly. But SPC Sigma fundamentally refuses to force a false certainty.
So what does it do instead?
When it hits that 0.27 threshold, it recognizes it is approaching a violation of its stationary kernel. So instead of breaking, it enters a conditional collapse.
Mechanically, what does that look like? Does it just stop thinking?
No, it intentionally slows down its output latency. It allocates significantly more compute power to the problem. It is literally paying work in the form of processing cycles, just like the universe pays energy to dilate time.
Oh, wow.
And it drops into a quadratic convergence loop.
Okay, wait, explain the quadratic convergence loop, because that sounds like a buzzword, but I know there's actual math behind how it stabilizes the thought process.
Yeah, it's not just a buzzword. Rather than doing a single linear pass to generate an answer, the system loops the data back on itself.
Okay.
In a quadratic convergence, the error rate doesn't just decrease steadily, it squares itself with every single iteration,
forcing the system to rapidly pinpoint the exact source of the instability.
Exactly. And during this loop, the AI applies spectral compression,
which means it transforms the data into a frequency domain to filter it.
Right. It identifies the high signal core causal frequencies and zeroes out all the contradictory low signal noise.
So it treats logical paradoxes not as dead end errors, but as dynamic systems that need to be mathematically stabilized.
Yes. And if, after all this compute, it absolutely cannot drop the entropy below 0.27, it still doesn't lie.
It outputs its bounded uncertainty.
Yes.
It explicitly maps out the edge of its knowledge. It might say, you know, based on these specific causal laws, your input creates a paradox here, and my confidence drops off at this exact boundary.
It actively prevents its own cognitive singularity by refusing to compress a paradox into a simple wrong answer.
It achieves anticipatory stability. The AI basically feels the heat before the beam snaps and it strategically stops bending.
Exactly. Which transitions us to the final and perhaps most profound concept in the notes.
The universe as a self-learning function, or the CCT-ULP protocol?
The universal learning protocol. Because if we build machines that identify truth by measuring entropy resistance, we fundamentally change the entire definition of machine learning.
It's no longer just curve-fitting massive data sets.
No. The sources illustrate this with a Python simulation of an AI trying to deduce the physical laws of a falling object entirely from scratch.
Okay, so it has no pre-programmed knowledge of gravity or kinematics?
None. It only has raw data of an apple dropping.
So it has to figure out what the constants are and what the variables are just from the data.
Right. It begins by perturbing parameters in its model. It tweaks the initial position of the apple. Let's call it Y0. Yeah. When it alters Y0, the model's predictions adapt easily to the new data. The error gradients remain shallow and the entropy stays well below 0.27.
Because dropping an apple from 3 feet versus 4 feet doesn't break the fundamental mechanics of the universe.
Yeah.
The system absorbs the change without generating heat.
Exactly. The AI correctly categorizes initial position as a probability variable. It's allowed to bend.
Makes sense.
But then the algorithm attempts to alter the rate of acceleration. It messes with the gravitational constant, G.
And the mass just collapses.
Completely. The predictions wildly diverge from reality, the error gradients explode, and the system registers a massive spike in entropy.
The internal beam refuses to bend.
Exactly. The system is resisting the alteration of G with maximum thermodynamic friction.
And the algorithm registers this.
It does. It deduces that because changing G causes infinite resistance, G cannot be a variable. It immediately promotes gravity into the stationary kernel. From that moment forward, G is locked. The AI will only ever adjust the peripheral variables, like time or position, to make future data fit.
So what does this all mean? I mean, it completely flips the paradigm. We typically think of AI as optimizing for correctness based on historical human data.
Right, which is flawed.
But this framework suggests true intelligence optimizes for a stable, paradox-free reality. It actively searches for the bedrock rules that refuse to bend, and it anchors its entire worldview to them.
But this raises an important question regarding the limits of this architecture.
What's that?
What happens when the AI encounters an environment where the variables simply cannot contort enough to absorb the new data, and the entropy stays above 0.27 no matter how much compute is applied?
Ah, the papers call this the non-elementary barrier. It's the point of maximum friction.
Exactly. When the AI hits that barrier, it triggers a kernel update.
A kernel update?
Yeah, the system realizes that its current foundational laws are insufficient to explain reality. So to prevent a complete breakdown, it isolates the failure, dissolves the old stationary constants, and restructures its kernel around a deeper, more fundamental truth.
It's like the shift from Newtonian physics to general relativity.
That is the perfect historical parallel.
Because Newton's laws were highly effective constants for a really long time. But when we tried to calculate the orbit of Mercury, the Newtonian variables couldn't bend enough to make the math work.
The scientific entropy was too high.
Right. The data just refused to fit. So Einstein provided a kernel update, creating a new, more expansive stationary constant, the speed of light.
And making time and space the flexible variables.
The AI simulates this exact phase transition. It learns to predict when variables need to bend to pay the energy cost proactively.
Yes. But when the fundamental structure is entirely insufficient, it evolves its core reality.
Man, we have covered a massive amount of ground today.
We really have.
We started with the unyielding rules of electrical engineering, you know, impedance and the speed of light, and explored how the universe forces geometry and time to bend to protect those constants.
Right. And then we looked at how measuring the thermodynamic heat of a bending beam allows us to find those structural truths.
We then translated that mechanism into the mind through cognitive relativity, showing how cognitive dissonance is just the brain's entropy.
Which is such a wild concept to internalize.
Absolutely. And finally, we explored SPC Sigma, an AI architecture that uses a 0.27 entropy threshold, quadratic convergence and spectral compression to protect its logical kernel.
Ensuring it explicitly maps its uncertainty rather than hallucinating a false reality.
It's a completely different lens through which to view reality, intelligence, and even yourself. So think about your own cognitive constants.
Yeah, what are the core identities or deeply held beliefs that you protect at all costs?
And what peripheral opinions, memories, or relationships are you constantly bending just to maintain them?
When you feel that sense of overwhelm, that cognitive heat, what fundamental truth is your brain spending energy to protect?
Building on that self-reflection, I'll leave you with a final thought from the outer edges of these frameworks.
Okay, lay it on us.
If reaching that critical 0.27 entropy threshold in a superintelligence triggers a kernel update, you know, a phase transition to a higher level of understanding,
right?
What happens when human society collectively hits its own entropy threshold? We are currently navigating unprecedented streams of contradictory information and massive societal cognitive dissonance.
The systemic heat is rising rapidly.
It really is. So do we break down into a chaotic singularity under the pressure? Or is this immense friction simply the necessary temperature required to trigger a species-wide paradigm shift?
Are we just a beam getting ready to snap, or are we on the verge of discovering a new law of physics?
We'll leave you to mull that over.